Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Ann Ortley here. Welcome to Access Astrology. This is where three astrologers gather on the internet once a week on Monday nights to talk to you about the exciting aspects that are taking place in the sky and to share our love of astrology with you, the listening audience. So what we do is we talk about the heavens and we talk about what it looks like on Earth. And there's three of us. So my name is Ann Ortley. I'm an astrologer in New York City, and I'm sitting here at my bright red desk playing with my computer trying to get it to work properly on a lovely Mercury retrograde. And I'm joined by another astrologer. Who's out there?
Mark Waltz over on the west side. And I don't have a bright red desk, but I borrow your energy.
Borrow the energy of a bright red desk, right?
Yeah. And it's holding that space.
I'm holding the space of the bright red
desk. The right color in bed.
Right.
And I feel like it's a desk you could drive around in.
It's a very cool desk. It is. Well, you know how I found the desk is I was coming home. I was walking home one day, and it was in the window of Pottery Barn for Kids, right? And I'm like, wow, what a great-looking desk. And then I fell in love with it, you know, and it was a kid desk. It's a little girl desk, but it's very bright red, but it's a full-size desk. It's, you know, a desk that a girl can grow into. So I ordered it, and it was the only season they had made a bright red. They still make the desk. It's called a Janie desk, but they don't make it a bright red anymore.
Wow.
I know. So it was like a once in a walking by the store moment, you know. So
yeah, you were meant to have it.
I was meant to have the bright red desk. So it sits in my living room in the window, right? And people come in and they go, "Oh, that's the bright red desk," and I'm like that, and they go, "It is red, isn't it?" And I'm like, "It is red." And it has little dowels that are bright red, and its legs are kind of carved bright red, and it's very bright red. It's very, very bright red. So, and then Heather usually joins us. We don't know where she is tonight. It is Mercury retrograde, and she is a Virgo. So we'll assume that she's been abducted by Mercury and will be joining us shortly. And
Heather always tells us Mercury retrograde stories.
Yeah, so we can talk about Mercury retrograde.
She's super sensitive.
Well, it went retrograde last week, and let me tell you, it's been a busy one for me. What have you had? Any Mercury retrograde stories on your land?
I'm trying to think. None that stand out, but I usually, for me, Mercury retrogrades are usually about 3 weeks, and the first 2 weeks don't count. I don't notice it. And then usually the third week is when everything seems retrograde to me.
Okay. You're right. Well, I you know, don't normally have – usually they're pretty reasonable for me. I mean, I have the usual screw-up things. But this one's big because Mercury is stationing at 19, which is right on my Virgo sun, right? And the full moon tomorrow is on my moon, which rules my sixth house. So I was kind of going, ooh, I've got, like, big stuff going in my chart. And so I got up Saturday night to go to the bathroom, middle of the night, and went to get some ice water. And my refrigerator was dead. It's like no light. You know, you open the door and the light didn't come on. It's not making any noise. And it's been making a lot of noise lately. You know how like they get mad and they go, it's like growling in the kitchen when I'm cooking. So I've been listening to it thinking, you're making a lot of noise for a refrigerator. And it died Saturday night in the middle of the night. And so I got up Sunday. I went, I can't deal with this. I mean, what am I going to do? It's 3 in the morning. You know, I got to go to bed. So I went to bed and got up in the next morning, and it was still dead. Sunday morning. It's a dead refrigerator on Sunday morning. What do you do? It's got stuff in it, right? So it's 90 degrees out. So and it's Mercury. You know, it's my appliance. It's my kitchen.
First thing is don't open it, right?
Yeah, well, first thing, don't open it. So I checked that it's still dead. It's still dead. My popsicles are melting in the freezer. You know, I've got these little fruit popsicle things. And I'm like, this is a problem. So I call Home Depot, and they're like, well, if you order it over the internet, it'll take a while to get there. So you're probably better off going to the store. It'll get there sooner because it's a dead refrigerator. So I go to the Home Depot store, and I meet with Jose, and Jose is showing me their different refrigerators. And I had gone to a friend of mine had gotten married, and we'd had a wedding shower for her and her spouse. We were going to do it at the beach, but we ended up doing it in a house because it was one of those 100-degree days in August. And the woman whose house we had it in had this really gorgeous new refrigerator. And I have to say, I had refrigerator envy. You know, I mean,
Was it red?
No, it wasn't red. It was a gray steel. But it had one of those pull-out drawers, you know, with the freezer on the bottom. which I think are really cool.
Yeah, smart.
And then it had the French doors where you open, and it's like this really juicy refrigerator. And then had an ice maker, and it had a water dispenser, and, you know, all sorts of very cool things. So I'm like, ooh, you know, it's like, it's a suburban house in Connecticut. It's like a refrigerator. I mean, it was huge. It was really huge. So I came home kind of drooling over her refrigerator. So now I'm in Home Depot, and I'm looking at the refrigerator choices I have. And I'm like, I can get, like, a refrigerator like my friend Marianne has. Except I don't really want an ice maker because those things usually break and leak water. So I buy the refrigerator. I come home, and it's coming on Wednesday, right, which means I have to unload. So I say to the super, do you have a spare refrigerator in the house someplace in the building, that, you know, an apartment that's been vacated that I can steal for a couple of days? So he shows me this really – opens this room to this dark back room full of garbage with a refrigerator in the far corner. He goes, well, you can have that one. And I kind of looked at it, and I went, cockroach heaven. I'm not taking this into my house.
Yeah. Hello, so I said, this Mercury retrograde is not a Scorpio.
I'm not taking the cockroach-full refrigerator. So I'm like, thank you very much. No, I'll pass. You know, once he opened the door to the room, I thought, we're not going. If it was in Mike's old apartment, I might have taken it. But it's been removed to the basement with the cockroaches. So I said, well, all right, thanks. I'll go get a bucket of ice. So I come upstairs and ring my neighbor's bell, and I say, can I put my food in your house? Because she doesn't eat, you know, she doesn't cook, so she always eats out. So she has nothing in her refrigerator except juice. And she's like, sure. So I start bringing all my stuff down. I unload my freezer, unload all my refrigerator. And I'd gone to the farmer's market on Saturday and bought a lot of vegetables and cooked a bunch of stuff on Saturday day, which may be why the refrigerator got mad at me. I don't know. So anyway, I load up her refrigerator. I come back, and it's like 4 o'clock, and I go into the kitchen to get something, and I open the door, and the refrigerator's working again. Now, mind you, I had put plugs all over. I'd tried plugs. I'd tried moving things. I'd whacked it. I'd shaken it. I'd done a bunch of stuff. Nothing happened. And it came back to life 12 hours later. Now, I have bought a refrigerator from Home Depot that I have now fallen in love with, right? And now my refrigerator is back. Now, it is a 25-year-old refrigerator because I bought it in 1988 or 87 in there. It was a while back. So I was like, all right, now what do I do? Do I go turn in my old, you know, cancel my order or get my new refrigerator or what? So this is my...
We know how this is going to end.
My food's down at Peggy's house. My refrigerator's on a truck coming in from Home Depot, coming on Wednesday. So what do you think's going to happen?
You have a new refrigerator. You know that.
You know me, huh? Yeah.
It was funny that the other one didn't want to...
It didn't want to leave. Once it realized it had been replaced, it decided to turn itself back on again. And I'm like, no, honey, I bought a new one. You're out of here. I mean, you're good for the milk for a week.
Did you buy the first one on a Mercury retrograde by any chance?
You know, I wasn't studying astrology then, but I did buy it with my friend who was moving into an apartment.
Uh-huh.
She was buying a condo, so she had to buy a refrigerator for her condo. So,
yeah.
And I was like, you're buying a refrigerator? And I had one of those frost refrigerators, you know, the ones that... they frost up and you have to defrost them like for hours and water all over everything. So I had one like that, and I was like, if I can pay $600 and never have to defrost this refrigerator, because I was doing it like once every 2 months, I thought it's worth it. So I bought one back when she was buying her apartment, which was like 86, 87, because we had been it was the first time I was on Fire Island and she was in my Fire Island house. And so... it was kind of like okay, cool. It was good. But, yes, I have a new refrigerator. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah,
wow.
So very cool. So we'll see what happens.
Good.
Yeah, so it's coming on Wednesday, and it has clear drawers. It has a little thing to hold a gallon. It has, like, you can see everything in it. It looks really very fresh and pretty, and it's all high because the freezer's on the bottom. It's a bottom freezer guy. So,
yeah.
So, anyway, that's my Mercury retrograde story. Right on my son, you know. And it died and came back again. Huh? Mercury tricked me. What?
Did the Home Depot carry out the old one?
Mm-hmm. They carry out the old one, and they also reverse my door because I need a left opening door in my kitchen. So they reverse the door, and they carry out the old one all for free. Plus, I got a 10% off discount, which basically saved me the tax in New York State. So.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was good.
Yeah, sounds like it was the right thing to do.
Yeah.
And this one will be more energy efficient than this.
It is, $49 for the whole year. That's how much they said it costs to run it.
Really?
Yeah. It's one of those Energy Star efficiently guys.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Well, see, you pay for it in a year then.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I guess.
The other one, probably.
Yeah. Well, the other one, you know, I'm trying to think, you know, when I bought it, it was like the hottest refrigerator around, you know, kind of, you know, that fits in the hole in my wall. It has to fit there, too. There's Heather. So I guess we'll now do astrology.
Yeah. Hi, and
hi,
this is Heather. And my Mercury retrograde story was I've been on the waiting in queue for a while because the conference call system would not let me on for the last 15 minutes.
Wow.
So I've been calling every minute for the last 15 minutes, wouldn't let me on, now just did. So
that was pretty funny. Mine was my refrigerator died and was reborn. And
I heard. That was quite a mess.
Oh, you could hear me telling the story? Yep. Okay, cool.
Yes, when I was online waiting, I was on two phones trying to get in, both in the queue and on the phone.
Well, I couldn't. Yeah. I just got let into Access Astrology. I've been typing in trying to get into it for the last 10, 15 minutes. I just got in about
five. Isn't that amazing?
Something must have just shifted, man, because it's kind of popping. We love astrology. Let's see what's
Mercury
happening.
Mercury retrograde.
What's happening in the sky right now?
Another good piece, I just found a missing cousin that I have not seen since I was 12.
Wow.
And I haven't heard hide nor hair of since I was, you know, for the last decade.
Mm-hmm.
So our families had just kind of drifted apart, and it was quite lovely to reconnect via email with an old client.
That's pretty cool.
Cousin.
Well, I just got dropped by
Blog Talk. One of the benefits of Mercury.
I just got dropped by them again. So, obviously, there's something going on out there in the heavens, not just Mercury retrograde. It's like other excitements. So
but that Sun.
I don't know where their servers are.
Sun Neptune opposition.
Yeah, that'll do it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know where their servers are because Angular in New York, there's nothing going on. But I just pulled up the chart. But you know, if it's in, it might be in California. I don't know where they live. Let's say San Jose in Google land.
Maybe it's in England.
Yeah, possibly. I feel like it's the states, you know, it's in the United States, but I'll look at San Jose. I have a feeling.
Yeah, I think they just, if it was in England, they probably would have hired an American to say, Blog Talk with you.
Oh, the British lady, right. I didn't get that joke. I'm sorry. I'm a little slow on the uptake tonight. All right, nope, doesn't look like it's in San Jose either. We'll have to find the location for Blog Talk to see what happened. Because 11:12, I had it, and it just jumped me out, so. Hopefully we're still on the air. I don't even know if we are.
We don't know, do we?
No, we don't. We can't tell.
Well, so that's a wonderful example, yes, of the very fuzzy, spacey aspects. The sun in Virgo, which pretend we are on the radio, and maybe we are, the sun just entered Virgo, and it's approaching that trine to Pluto. But the sun opposed Neptune all weekend, just took the steam out of a lot of people.
It took
the fight out of some people, too. But the fight that was there is Neptunian. It's about the, you know, projection that's going on around the mosque.
Oh, man.
And the sudden anti-Islamic fervor all over the country. So that very much the Sun-Neptune opposition and Neptune coming to conjunct Chiron right on the chart of America's natal moon. And we're dealing with healing, one of the primary, you know, misconceptions in the country. I just posted on Facebook it was a 1947, you know, War Department anti-prejudice piece, and it was warning people not to fall in for prejudice because once they start doing that, they'll come for you too. And it's a really good little piece, but it just felt so relevant to what's going on right now.
It's interesting that they posted that in 1947, not 1942.
I know. Well, this was the fervor that continued after the war, the prejudice against foreigners that were coming in. Yes, it was. I think they may have learned from their mistakes, but they didn't want it to happen again, and there was a whole new wave of of, you know, hating foreigners and black people at that time. But we just changed the names of who it is that's the problem.
Right.
Right.
But, you know, most people are having a nice, cozy time with this Venus-Mars conjunction in Libra, but except for where they can do this projection of that, their spiritual fervor in a negative way.
Yeah.
Well, I find that the Venus-Neptune thing, you know, the Libra, the negative part of Libra is, well, you know, you need to do this, and you need to do, and it's like,
oh, yeah.
You know, come on, when you hear the you, where are you in that? You know, and it's the Libra has that whole energy of the other, it has to change something or change, you know, and I've been hearing a lot of that with people, well, you know, you really need to, and it's like, no, I don't really need to, you know, it's kind
you
of that.
Need to.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's like, what do you mean? You can do it.
And you need me to do it.
You need me to do it, yeah. Yeah, it's an interesting thing because it's gotten very crazy in New York. I mean, we had protests and people jumping up and down and, you know, out in the middle of the heat, you know, rioting. And I'm like, people, go to the beach. You'll feel much better if you go to the beach and rest in the sun rather than getting all crazed down there. But, yeah, kind of wild. Well, I do also, I had talked to a friend of mine who works for Landmarks Commission, and, you know, they were doing the hearings initially because people were trying to landmark the building to prevent it from being torn down, provided it was a, you know, suitable example of it. And and she, you know, they had to hire guards with guns because people were going so crazy in their hearings, their public hearings. And it was kind of a fascinating process because I said to her, I never really got, you know, like when people get totally crazy about stuff and they want to hang people or kill people, I never got where that fervor came from. And I feel like I'm watching it kind of on a detached level going, wow, they're really crazy about this, aren't they? And she said that Pluto and Capricorn square Uranus, which we're going to have for seven times, is a dystopic anti-immigrant aspect that in historically... Yeah. When that aspect has taken place, the Uranus square Pluto, that the powers that be ban the outsiders, the Uranians, and say you must leave with force, and that we're entering a period of time where that's going to be, there's going to be a lot more anti-immigrant as well as anti-Muslim or anti-other group would be the better way to say it.
You could say also anti-outsider.
I'm going to resist that. And I'd like to not vote for that with my imagination, as Caroline Casey said.
Right. But that it was true. That was a historically, you know, because she's preparing a speech.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's why I think it's so important that as many people can speak out and we reclaim the good side of that moon in Aquarius in the America's natal chart, that we really are a people of all peoples.
Yeah.
But that's going to take a lot of pressure. And a lot of energy to hold our belief in that, and that, you know, that what goes around comes around. Really, golden rule this process here. You do not attack any others the way you do not want to be attacked. And I'm hoping that this, you know, the Venus-Mars conjunction in Libra can be at its best to search for peacefulness, but it can also be this terrible. You know, an open warfare process, but that's the short term. But whenever Venus and Mars are conjunct, we see that, you know, just extra emotions poured into whatever gets started. You know, people may not sit around feeling emotional, but whenever emotions kick in, they tend to build up quickly.
And run over,
right now, Mercury isn't really aspecting any tight aspects to anything. And Venus and Mars only at the moment are in a semi-square to the Sun. So there's a real disconnection from the personal planets to all the big action that's happening on the outer planets. And I'm just feeling so many people sort of at loose ends, or wandering around, not putting it all together.
Yeah, well, it's not, I don't think it's time to put it together yet. I think it's still in the, you know, the energy, the tension of the T-square as it eases. Will be like, okay, that's easing off. So now we actually have a little more space and a little more room to try something new. And as it eases, I think it'll help us, be able to reconnect. Right now, it's, I think you're right, it's very disjointed. It's a disjointed energy. It doesn't want to connect. Or it wants to connect in the way it wants to connect, not in the way the other person might prefer. It's a dominator model. That's the way it feels like. Like, nope, you're going to do it my way or else. Okay. Or else.
But we can, again, again, I would say is we, you know, the way to, for me to, the way to work with the aspects, we can see the negative stuff coming, but there is a positive expression of all those negative aspects.
Totally.
And we can't fight the negative, we can redirect it towards the positive. And that's just trying to find positive uses of all of these unsettling aspects. You know, while it's unsettled, how can we make it work better? But yes, it's a bit of a mess.
Yeah, and it does make you really feel like you want to do something. You know, you're there's just an antsiness. I know I kind of power got a lot of stuff accomplished today because I was feeling very, and I was like, all right, I got to do something with this because if I sit in it, I'm going to want to hit somebody. And I got a lot accomplished. It kind of cleared
good
piles.
Work.
No, cleared piles off my desk, which was good. But at the same time, there was a, I could feel the crankiness, you know, just the, and I'm like, cranky, you know, cranky. And that, not a pleasant cranky, it was a irritated cranky. So I think the other part with the, you know, with the full moon tomorrow, the full moon is really interesting. It's got a, you know, it's angular in the United States. The moon and the sun's at the top of the chart. It's like high noon or 1 o'clock or whatever. But anyway, the moon's at the, sun's at the top, moon's at the bottom. And sun in the midheaven is joined to Regulus, and Uranus is joined to the planet, the fixed star Shit, and the scales are angular, which are higher or lower versions of helping humanity for your own good, you're benefiting, or helping humanity for the greater good. And then the Uranus, which is very changeable energy, you know, like letting things really deteriorate. And then the Regulus, which is saying, you know, go for the higher honor, go for the vision, go for the upper the upper energy. And even though the T-square is separating, you know, we're still feeling it until it gets about 2 degrees apart. So it is ebbing, but it also is ebbing with energy. So, and the full moon at the end of it kind of says, boing, let's set it off one more time. So, always fun.
Yes. And so that full moon tomorrow is going to be pretty emotionally awash time. I'm asking people to be extremely gentle on themselves and each other.
Right.
And just as kind as kind can be. And it may be a time when you just have to, you know, have a good cry or paint it out or just really feel. A lot of people panic when they feel their vulnerability. And there are places where that's appropriate, but most of us are just feeling the vulnerability of the world.
Right.
Now, there was an article in the paper tonight about how rape is being used as a power brokering process in the Congo, and the army will come in and rape all the women and children and some others in a town and move on. There was 200 raped in one town last month. And they have a right to feel overwhelmed and crying. Most of us are processing old feelings or feeling the vulnerability for the world, and we're not in that place. I think sometimes it can help to find someone who really is a victim and be helpful. And that helps that place in us that is just feeling soft and scared and worried. How can we turn that around? But so tomorrow we may just, like, all those emotions may be flooding up and flooding out, or we just feel like sitting and doing nothing. To use it as that to really pay attention to the gentleness of the inner world while the moon is full in Pisces. What are the dreams? What are the feelings? What are the softer concerns? Mark, how are you seeing that?
Well, it's a good time to remember the energy of Virgo, because Virgo is what's shining the light on that moon.
And
we have the sun just into Virgo for this year. And so it's a good time for us to realize that sometimes when we feel kind of lost at sea with that Pisces emotion, pulling it back to the earth sign of Virgo and its sense of practicality is really helpful, because that does in many ways balance out the sort of lost in compassion feeling of Pisces. And, you know, because the question becomes, well, what can we do about it? And at a certain point, that's where you have to go. You know, you can feel all the empathy you want, but at a certain point, something's got to move. And so that's what Virgo is there for. Mm-hmm. Virgo says, okay, we actually have to do some service here, not just feel it. And, you know, so if you find yourself feeling lost in the Pisces end of it, try to reach over to where the sun rays are coming from and look for what is the practical work that can be done.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a really good point. The other piece is the Mercury is stationing at the degree of 9/11. It's at 18 Virgo, 19 Virgo. So it's also bringing up, you know, the conversation is about Muslim-Christian
yes.
relations. Because
that's
part of
right.
it is that degree is pushing and pulsing on that opposition that Saturn and Pluto had back in 2001.
Yes.
And also the energy also is the Saturn-Pluto are in a square, which is the they were in an opposition back in 2001.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's also part of it. It's a lot of accumulated conversations that maybe haven't been held or had, and now that the Mercury is squaring the position that those planets, or stimulating the position that those planets were at, squaring them, literally, because Saturn was in Gemini and Pluto was in Sag, Mercury is saying, okay, let's try and make some sense of this process. We've had 9 years to process it. What have we learned? What do we know?
Mm-hmm.
And that also is the regressive nature of the conversation, where we're all being taken back emotionally to those feelings. Because I know I was sitting in my summer house and people were talking about it, and I was just kind of watching the conversation eddy and flow around me, not participating, just really being observing, but feeling myself getting caught in it, you know, and feeling like, you know, wanting to say something and wanting to, you know, and it was very hard to just kind of sit and float and listen, because the intensities, the emotions were so intense. And I think that's also part of why the emotions are so intense, that it is tied to back to 9/11. And, you know, literally the aspects in the sky are evoking it on a psychological level, because the closing square is always psychological, or it has a psychological component to it, where it says, look, go back and look at that and see how you processed it. Have you processed it? Or did you just kind of pack it away, and now that it's open and up to be looked at, we're looking at it, you know? And so understand the stimulation is for you to psychologically work with this, and also whatever the issues are you have around Saturn and Pluto, which is structure and power. How is power structured? So it's an interesting, you know, exercise in resonant astrology, as it resonates across time and space. It says, oh, yeah, you thought that was all packed away, did you? Okay, let's remind you how unresolved some of those issues still are, because you're still working it. So it's fascinating.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Fascinating stuff. I love astrology.
Yeah. Someone said something about being where, you know, we're past post 9/11. And I go, oh, if we are, then the politics right now would be very, very different.
Yeah.
Now this is resonating with that old trauma.
Yeah.
But
waking it up.
It's how do we move, not let old trauma, let it heal, but not let it run the show.
Mm-hmm.
We had an email from our group from a woman in Santa Fe who used to live in New York, was feeling very spacey. I think we all got the email, but let me read it, and because it ties right into what we're saying. So this is for Sandy in Santa Fe. She said, I really feel the energies of the last cardinal cross. I was so spaced out I didn't feel comfortable driving. A few people fell at the assisted living facility where my parents live. One Capricorn lady at the age of 94 fell and died. My husband, who's a Capricorn, got spaced out, but not as much as me. And now I hear there's another cardinal cross with this full moon on Tuesday with Mercury retrograde on top of it. We're driving from Santa Fe to Colorado to see a sister that day. I wonder if you have any thoughts on this full moon and cardinal cross. And the information from Sandy is that she was born January 13th, 1953, at 2:30 p.m. in Brooklyn, New York. And, you know, you were just talking about how spacey people are feeling with this aspect and with Mercury station. So what can we give the audience who is feeling spacey and is feeling ungrounded under these aspects? What can we help them using these aspects to ground and to be healthy and safe when they're feeling a little floaty during this process?
How do we ground
Mark,
them?
Yes. Mark, any ideas?
For being grounded?
Mm-hmm. For using the aspects that they are now, when people are feeling a little spacey and disconnected. Because I see, when I look at this cardinal cross on Sandy's chart, her moon is at 29 Sagittarius. So it's feeling, and her Mercury is at 10 Capricorn, so the cardinal cross is hitting the midpoint between her Mercury and the moon, or it's affecting both her Mercury and the moon, but not right on either one of them.
Plus Neptune sextile to her moon.
Mm-hmm.
Which is amazing. And Neptune's on her midheaven, too. Yeah.
Right. And so there's some, you know, spacey aspects that are leaving her resonating at the moment. And I would say that it sounds to me like she gets disconnected from where she is, and that, you know, she's going through a lot of these aspects with Pluto first hit her Vesta, then it's hit her moon, then it's going to hit her Mercury, and then Chiron, and then Sun eventually. But there's a lot of aspects, and it's also going to be sextiling her Venus and Mars in there. We don't have her husband's aspects. But when you go through that, I have found that if a person can take some time and listen to what's knocking in the subconscious, that with these aspects, there's a lot going on in our own psyche. It could be past life coming through. It could be this life healing. It could be emotions that need processing. So when people are going through the political fervor, I want to stop them and say, tell me how you're feeling first. What's this triggering in your personal reality? Let's deal with the emotions that are making it hard to think right now. And when people are getting spacey, some of it is because there's an inner process that needs to be heard, and we sort of like disconnect from the outside world till we go inside and hear it. And that going inside and saying, well, I can't drive right now, but what can I do? What's knocking on my soul? And write for a while, or, you know, talk to the empty chair. It's like, talk about what's going on in there. And then when the message is heard, when you're, whatever it is that your psyche is working on is heard, it's a little easier to get back into feeling your feet underneath you, walking, feeling your body within, and staying more connected. And I said, and I'm wondering if I would ask her to really tune into what she's spacing out to hear, and then come back and do good basic grounding skills.
Yeah,
how about you, Mark?
She has a chart that really invites her to use the intuition.
Mm-hmm.
Very strongly with the Uranus opposite the Mercury and the Sun. And she's meant to do that, but it's difficult because they're in a T-square with the Saturn and Neptune. So she has a lot of resistance and a lot of sort of fear, or apprehension is a better word, I think. Apprehension about just when can you trust the intuition, and not even just when, but how far. More a question of how far. So she accepts what she gets intuitively, but then she feels like there must be a limit to it. And it's safer to set the limit closer than let it sort of unravel further out. But So really a good thing for her to feel more grounded and less spacey is going to be to work with some intuitive techniques.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, just learn to hear that intuitive voice and dialogue with it and expand the degree of trust that can be put into it. And that'll be quite exciting. And the thing is that she can really trust how far to go with that because she's a Capricorn and her Mercury's in Capricorn. So, you know, she's really not going to get, like, crazy wigged out, you know. It's, you know, there's just a built-in groundedness that she needs to tap into, but it's the apprehension about that that kind of pulls her out of it. And she feels like, well, I can't allow things to get, you know, as intuitive as it seems that they should. So anyway, what she needs, though, is some real solid techniques. So whatever way she wants to work with it, she can. But it does require, it's a little bit like, you know, you need to take some driving lessons to drive the car. And if you want to work with your intuition, you can get some driving lessons on that too.
Uh-huh. And I think with also, she has the Mars and the Venus in Pisces, and in the sky they're joined right now. And so they're also setting off her chart's water float, you know, where she kind of can float along on that. And I would say no sugar. Really watch the sugar and any kind of alcohol substances or any kind of drugs, because they're going to really be highly amplified right now with Neptune trining her Saturn and with the natal excitation of her natural floatiness of the Mars and Venus in Pisces. So she's extra sensitive to float. You know, her chart really wants to kind of zoom along. And she also is having the North Node on her Mercury, which is, you know, I often find with transits to the North Node that we feel that that planet gets taken over for a very short, I mean, it's a very short little transition, but Mercury on the North Node, Mercury rules cars, so she's saying, well, you know, we've got this road trip ahead of us, and I've got the North Node on my Mercury making Mercury feel unstable because the North Node is eating it or absorbing it or waking it up. So I would say to her, yeah, drive carefully and be aware that everybody else is having spacey aspects. You know, a lot of times we're conscious, you know, we know the aspects in the heavens, but the person who's in the car next to us doesn't know about astrology, and they're feeling whatever they're having, and they're thinking about whatever, and they're not necessarily paying attention to us. So it's driving defensively, too. But I would be very careful to not have any kind of sugar or any kind of fluid that is a lot of sugar in it while she's doing this journey, because, you know, plain water, clearly drunk, I don't know, whatever the word would be there, to help her ground, you know, and also physically doing actual physical stretches, because her Mars and Venus and Pisces are very affected by this flow, and so putting on music that she finds grounding, not music that's going to transport her, but music that makes her stay focused. This is not a time to listen to books on tape in the car. It's time to listen to music that says, pay attention while you're driving, pay attention while you're driving, whatever that music is that she finds that focuses her attention. That will help a lot in grounding her chart, because it has to, you know, it comes in through the Venus, Mars, and Pisces and can help her. I know when I want to change state, like if I want to get something accomplished, I'll put on like Hammer or something like that, because I you know, he pounds along and I get a lot of stuff done. You know, when I want to float along, I put on, you know, my Gregorian chants and I go flying around. And it, you know, music as a state changer for her is highly important. So getting her in when she's in the car, making sure that the music is grounding would help a lot for the road trip too, I think.
And whatever you do, do not back up on the highway.
That happened to Mark. Somebody backed up in the highway and the car is gone, huh?
Oh, hon.
Yeah, remember
how
he rolled the car? Huh?
Yeah. Yeah, have you gotten a new car?
No, we're looking. We're shopping around. And we'll get something pretty soon. But we've been renting in the meantime.
It hasn't stopped their summer road trips, we're happy to say.
No, it hasn't.
We need to do those summer road trips. They're very refreshing.
Right.
Shall we open up the line to anybody who might
be out
there? Who
would like to call, sure. Yeah, we don't have any callers on the line. 347-215-8881. 347-215-8881. And we did have an email from a listener. Let me pull it up. messages, I think. And it was, it's from a little. I don't know, a little.
Okay.
And it says, "Hi, my life is in a ditch." That's a good, good metaphor. Obviously,
okay.
She was floating. "And I wondered if you see any work in my future." Okay. "Born December 16th, 1957, 6:30 in the morning in Montgomery, Alabama."
December 16th, 1957.
Mm-hmm.
At what time?
6:30 in the morning. In Montgomery, Alabama.
And she wants to know what the heck is going on.
She wants to know about work. Do we see any work in
and
her future?
She doesn't want to be a ditch digger.
No. Her life is in the ditch. She doesn't want to dig any more ditches.
Well, she was born with the Sun and Saturn conjunct in Sagittarius on the Sagittarius ascendant. So work really does define her. Looks like it was a tough birth, and that she tends to go through tough beginnings when she enters a new phase in her life. Mercury was about to hit her 10th house when it turned retrograde. Her midheaven is 21 Virgo, and Mercury turned retrograde at 18 Virgo, which I'm very painfully aware of, being that's my ascendant. But it turned, and so it looks like she was just about to hear some news or make some changes, and then that got put on hold while Mercury was retrograde. But Mercury is crossing into her 10th house about, what is it, the 21st of the month, and gives her a month with very active time to get work done and communicate about work-related changes if she wants.
The
question also
what?
I would ask her is what kind of work? And also Venus and Mars now are conjunct in her 10th house and coming up to her Moon-Jupiter-Neptune lineup in the 11th house. I think a lot of things tend to fall into place for this person. And she may want be a little surprised that they're not right now. And it's not so much about her as about what the whole world is experiencing. And it's hard to believe that it's not necessary. I mean, she's capable of hard work with that Mercury stationary in Capricorn the first and Mars in the 12th in Scorpio. But often she has pretty astounding luck. Not always good luck, but astounding luck. And I think that it's not. It's going to take some sweat equity at the moment.
Yeah, that could have set up a kind of a habit of waiting for the lucky things to work out.
Right.
You know, it might be a little hard for her to actually make decisions rather than see who walks in the door with an offer.
Mm-hmm.
But this is more of a time to be making decisions.
But she said she doesn't want, I guess it's the question is when will she find work? So for finding work, we're going to look for transits to the midheaven or the sixth house.
Right.
And the midheaven is going to have Saturn on it fairly soon. So it's in the next month or so you should find something. And Saturn is the ruler of her second house of money and skills. And then Venus is the ruler of her sixth house. And Venus is... Where is she? Venus is up at the top of the
And Mercury's coming up to her midheaven.
And Mercury's coming.
At the end of September.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's, I think we're looking at September a little.
Mm-hmm.
Towards the end of September. But when Saturn hits Uranus in the next week or so, your solar arc Uranus, you should hear something. And it may very well be something that involves, you know, kind of something out of the blue. You've also got Juno coming to Uranus in the 8th, which is an old partner or looking for a Leo of some sort, somebody with something at Leo 11. And you also have Pluto coming to your north node by solar arc and your Mars. So there's also a sense of real frustration with this not being working thing. So you maybe want to be, when you're on interviews, be conscious of the fact that normally what worked for you in the past, you're going to maybe be putting out a little extra Pluto energy, meaning people are going to pick up the frustration and maybe not be as receptive to it as they have been in the past, where normally, you know, Pluto in the first on your progressed Mars gives an edge to you. So being aware of how you're interviewing, normally the Libra moon is, you know, very charming and delightful, but right now it's by progression, it's in late Virgo. So late Virgo can be critical of former bosses or can, you know, kind of criticize the interviewer inadvertently or remind the interviewer of his or her mother. So you want to be very careful about how
Never do that.
Be very careful about how you present your conversation when you're interviewing. Because the moon moon in Virgo is squaring the Neptune by solar arc. So you've maybe not necessarily, you know, you don't think of yourself as your mother, but you're coming across to them like their mother. And that could be a little possibly a part of the problem about finding work. So, but it does look like you do get something in September. So turn on the charm.
Yeah. And again, the other piece, Pluto is conjunct her progressed Mars exactly. So that's real frustration at being able to live out her ambition.
Yes.
When her progressed moon enters Libra
three
months, and I think she'll feel much more at home with it, a little less frustrated and sending off sparks.
Yeah, you won't feel so
I hope
cranky.
That she's involved in some kind of work that is around education or international travel or a company with international contacts. Because if she's not, it may be that she also needs to really look carefully to make sure that the business that she's in is appropriate for her and really helps her come alive. Because when she likes her work, she's pretty amazing at it. When she doesn't like it or it's the wrong work, she can feel duty-bound to work harder, but she kind of the sparks come out sideways and she gets accused of passive-aggressive or she just the energy just isn't there. Mm-hmm. And she's so good at what she does if it's the right work for her. So I would ask her to think carefully about that.
Yeah, and on October 14th, the moon goes into Libra. So the last 30 months from October 14th back have been moon in Virgo. When moon's in Virgo, very often people find that they aren't making as much money as they're used to making, or they're feeling a little poorer or a little tighter financially. So the moon changes in October 14th. So that should be a bit of a relief because it gets out of Virgo and into Libra where it's a little happier. In terms of feeling, you know, feeling like the financial flow is with you. So, so it's, you know, you are having some crappy transits. So. It's not the ditch forever. You just, there's no water in the ditch. That's a good part. You're not drowning.
Right.
You just have to get the tow truck.
It's also that she's, in, what's making her uncomfortable is not so much the condition, it's that she's restless.
Yes.
Is that she's resisting staying in the ditch. But it wouldn't look like a ditch if she wasn't, you know, itching to do something to shift it.
Right.
And that discomfort is a sign. If she can take that discomfort and just put daily work into stepping forward, into making sure she's on track, she's, you know, in line with her bliss, she's working and stepping forward towards it, knowing that so much of it has to do with the conditions around her rather than with her. But that spark, as you said, that she's sending off, you know, sparky edges and mixed signals at the moment.
I would actually
take that forward.
Really take a physical exercise and get yourself out the door, jog in the morning before you go on an interview so that you've dispensed some of the, you know, the extra aggression. Even if you're feeling like, well, you know, I'm there's a reason why I'm mad, you know, it's like I know. But when they're interviewing you, they're looking to see how you fit in with the group. And because you're sending out kind of a rawr energy, they're like, oh, she'll be a problem with the group. And you're not really normally. You actually get along fairly well with everybody.
Very well.
But you're right now, you're sending out this, and they're going to go, ooh, I can feel that. No, it's not good. And backing away from you, where normally, or maternal, you know, kind of, I'm your mother and I'll tell you what you should do to fix this. And that's not going to fly either with whoever you're interviewing. Whoever you're interviewing is not necessarily feeling particularly in their own strength right now. So you're when you interview with them and you tell them how you would fix stuff, that would make them go, whatever. So I find with this kind of thing, you want to do a little more flattery with your boss interviews,
mm-hmm.
where you say to them, so, like, what kind of employee do you look for? And they say, well, you know, and what drives you crazy in the employees who work for you? And what, you know, what do you like about the employees that work for you? And then you get their list of what they're actually looking for in an employee, and then you can kind of see how well you match that to also see if you're going to fit in with them. Mm-hmm. Or you can tailor your answers a bit better. And that is one of those questions that every time I've asked it on an interview, people always say to me, you know, no one has ever asked me that question before. That's a great question. What do I look for in an employee? And it's an interesting, because there are characteristics that people think of as good employees. And then they start telling you about who they like and who they don't like, or what they like and what they don't like. And it gives you great information on how to work with them as a person, because if they like you to check in with them, they tell you that. You know, they'll say, well, I hate people that run off and don't ask questions. And you're like, okay, make sure to ask questions. You know, you know their signals. So I find this a very good interview question to ask, too. So
it makes the interview easier, too.
Yes. And it also...
Get them talking about what they want. You know?
Right. Mm-hmm. They're like, I know what I want. I know what I like, you know. And you that's a good question. I'll hire you. So I think it'll be better a little, but not just a yet. Soon, though. September. We're looking at September. You only got a couple more weeks. So.
Yeah, but it is true to try to get some traction.
Mm-hmm.
So if you feel you're spinning your wheels from what you were doing this morning, pick something else, you know, and that, you know, go for a run or, you know, do something, do a little project before mm-hmm. you go to that interview. But do something that you can accomplish.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you go into an interview having just spent 2 hours spinning your wheels, then that's going to show in the interview.
Right.
Whereas if you go in and you just, I don't know, maybe you just baked a cake or you just pulled your car out of a ditch or, you know, whatever you did.
Cleaned out the garage.
You cleaned the garage. You got something done. And that'll be with you when you go into the interview.
Right. And we have a couple callers. So on from a little. Let us know. All right. Hi. Somebody just hung up. 310, you just left us, so we aren't going to call on you. But we'll call in 218. Hi, 218. How are you? Who are you?
Hello.
Hello. Hi. You're on the air.
Hello.
What's your question?
This is Bev, and my husband's going to be retiring, and I'm wondering if I should retire with him.
Oh, okay.
And when were you born, Bev?
May 6th, 1953.
Mm-hmm.
At 2:30 in the afternoon,
mm-hmm.
Duluth, Minnesota.
Oh,
I was going to say, I thought I heard a Minnesota feel in that voice. And
yeah,
when's your husband retiring?
Probably in October.
Mm-hmm. And do we have his birth date, or do you want us to look at yours?
He
is what?
8/25/1950.
Okay, and do you know what time?
No, I don't.
Okay,
and
do you know
also
where?
Duluth, Minnesota.
He's Duluth, too. Okay, cool. All right, so Bev and the husband.
What was your information again? It was
May 6th, 1953, 2:30 in the afternoon.
Okay.
It looks like you both have your moon... Both Earth signs with the moon in Aquarius.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I can see why you would want to do that. You've been sort of best friends and have an interesting community together. Now, it looks like you've got some mixed feelings about the retirement because it looks like it would feel really good to retire, but there's also a part of you that hates being told what to do and doesn't want to feel trapped in one place or the other, one way of doing it or the other. So you really have to feel like you chose this.
Okay.
Not like it was forced on you or you were stuck, either retiring or not retiring. So it's going to be important for you to take some time away from what he wants, away from what your employer wants, and try to figure out what you want.
Mm-hmm.
And starting about, 3 weeks ago when your progressed moon went into Aries, I feel like you're already, in some ways off and running.
Mm-hmm.
And really are feeling antsy and don't want to do what you've always done.
Right.
And I think if you could spend the next 2.5 years exploring with your husband, then you'd like to come back and get back into something more solid and settled. And maybe not going back to the work that you've done, but you would like to, you like having a job. You like having work where you get to know a community of people and deal with them on a regular basis and having some responsibility. And I don't think really normally you like a really unstructured week where you could do anything. I think after a while it gets a little uncomfortable for you.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, for the next couple of years, while your progressed moon's in Aries, it looks to me like you, the two of you, need some time to go exploring together.
Road trip.
And then, whatever it is that really makes you happy together. And then you'll be ready to kind of find an interim, not going back to work, but I think finding a form of work that works for you.
Yeah, think of it as a new career. Not a retirement, but a new career. And it wouldn't have to be full-time, but it's a definite career, a full interest, something that occupies you. It occupies your interest full-time. Mm-hmm. Maybe not your work, but, you can really put yourself into it. So it may be something that you've always kind of wanted to do, if only I had the time.
Well, art or the Peace Corps.
Well, I was going to say, that might be a good solution, because he's a Virgo, you're a Taurus, and, maybe doing some volunteer work where you're actually doing, you do a road trip someplace and build a house, or you do a road trip someplace and do some work in community service could totally work for you guys. And I think, it's you're both Earth, which likes to do something practical, and then you're both Air, which like to talk and connect to people. And so, my brother and sister-in-law, they do something with their church where they go off to, different places and build churches. And then, they go on vacation, and they're there for 3 weeks, and they do 2 weeks of building and 1 week of laying on the beach, having fun. And you guys, with your, for you, fun is work. You Capricorn rules your fifth house cusp, so you like to work for fun.
That's both of us.
And he does, too, because he's a Virgo. So it's like coming up with work that's fun for you guys and making that be, maybe your adventure retirement for a couple of years. And then when Saturn gets to your second house, which is in next fall, he's going to be in your second house, and he's going to be then saying to you, okay, how do we want to structure this new life? Because this year and next year are the year, till next fall, are to play with things and try, let me try that, let me see what that would be like. And I think you're both young enough that you can have a good time doing this stuff, and as long as it's work or countries that you're interested or places that you're interested in seeing, you could probably have a really good time doing adventure volunteering, road trips.
Yeah, we've talked about Habitat for Humanity.
Wonderful. That would be a beautiful thing for you to do.
Mm-hmm. But not in your own town, doing it other places.
Places.
Yeah, other places.
We just got a pickup truck to haul our fifth wheel that we bought last fall.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful.
Yeah, so maybe just...
I think you're going to have a lovely time.
I think so, too. Road trip is really in there. And then in about 2 years, a year and a half, 2 years, when Saturn goes through your second, what that is that your new career comes in. And for both of you, you know, there's a relationship shift that happens, and that's a good time for kind of putting down roots in a new place. So, yeah, I'd say go for it.
Okay.
We vote yes, Bev. So.
Right. And we're going to be heading out this night?
Yep, we're heading out. And 15 months from now, you'll find the new direction. So kind of think 15 months from now, try a lot of new stuff. So this is the end of the Access Astrology roadshow or a radio show, depending on how you want to talk. It's three astrologers who get together once a week on the Internet, and we talk to you about what's going on in the heavens. Remember, full moon and sun into Virgo, saying new exciting directions. And then we also take your calls and your emails. So feel free to write us or call us, and we'll cover your questions on the air. So my name is Ann Ortley. I'm an astrologer on the Upper East Side of Manhattan, and my cohorts in crime are
Heather Rowan Robbins from St. Paul, Minneapolis, Minnesota.
And Mark Wolf, Manhattan, New York City.
So we'll see you all next week and catch you around the Internet. Take care. Bye.
Wonderful. Bye.
Bye now. Come on.